So being a solopreneur or a business owner with a small team can be a really weird dichotomy of having hours and hours of time where you talk to nobody and then moving into hours and hours of time where you seem to be talking to everybody through coaching or on social media or through interviews. And I know that for an introvert like myself, although all of these things are enjoyable, I choose to do all of them, it still can be exhausting. And sometimes if I'm not in a good place, if I'm not being intentional about this, I can often move into like a self-preservation mode or even a shutdown mode where I know I'm not showing up for my family or for the people I serve in the way that, you know, God has prepared me to do. And so I'm really excited about the conversation that we are going to have today. But before we dive in, I just want to welcome you to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur podcast and video stream. As you probably know by now, you can now catch all of these episodes on YouTube at The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur. Our mission is to walk you through the fear and the lies the enemy can plant into entrepreneurship and move you into operating in faith so that you can step into the full purpose that God has for you and for your business. We want to help you align your mind and business biblically. We want you to take God-sized steps of obedience because we know that He blesses faith. And we want to cover your business in prayer. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, and your host on this ongoing conversation of faith and business. So if you are a faith-filled entrepreneur or if God is leading you in that direction, then you have come to the right place. So let me introduce our fabulous guest today. Lindsay Maloney is a business coach for women coaches. She is the host of the top-rated podcast, Book Your Dream Clients, and homeschooling mom of three. Lindsay helps female coaches create six-figure businesses by building out their signature offers and designing dreamy client packages without the hustle mentality so that they can have a business and life that they enjoy and is in complete alignment with their ultimate dreams and visions. So, Lindsay, I am so glad that you are here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So I've really enjoyed following your work and what you do. I've already gotten so much value from following your social media feed on Instagram. We're going to give our listeners all the ways to follow you, but you certainly are full of a lot of wisdom. So I'm really excited to dive into our conversation today. So I introduced you a little bit, but if you could just tell us maybe a little bit more about your journey and kind of how God brought you to this place.
Yes. So I have to go in the way back machine and go to a place where I had just one baby. And I remember the exact moment when I heard something and I had just laid my son down for a nap. I was done with work for the day. And I remember being on the landing of our stairs and thinking, there's got to be something more. My house is clean. My baby's sleeping. I'm done with work. What do I do? Like I felt like I could offer so much more, but I didn't know what it was. I started to notice that I could actually do things to change my own life before I expected everybody else to. So I started to pay attention to my health, how I was feeling, and I actually lost 90 pounds. And I started to have people ask me, what did you do? This was back in the day when Facebook was the only social media platform. And people who knew me would ask, like, what are you eating? What are you taking? I'm like, I'm not taking anything. I just eliminated all the crap out of my diet and I'm just eating good food and I'm exercising every day. And people started to ask me, like, can you help me do this? Sure. So I started to educate myself more so I could help all of these different women who are coming into my life asking me to create food plans for them and workout plans for them. I started to get certifications in group fitness coaching and personal training. And I brought people into my basement and I would personal train them for $10 an hour while my second baby was sleeping. Then I hit pause because I wanted to focus on her. this is maybe 5 years down the road of health coaching. So I hit pause. I disabled Instagram. I disabled Facebook. Everything was, I was gone. I didn't even say goodbye. I just shut it off and I didn't care. I focused on baby. And you know how your time with baby, you know, you normalize things, you get into your routine and then you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about the things that I enjoy doing. And I remember sitting in a doctor's office and waiting. And I thought the only thing on my phone to help me pass the time is the weather app and the news app. And I don't want to look at the news. And so I'm just going to download Instagram again. And I couldn't remember my password or anything. So I had to create a new account. And I remembered some people that I followed. And I was like, oh, I missed this. And it looks like everyone's having so much fun. And when I get home, I'm going to, the whole way home, I just brainstormed on how I can revive my health coaching business. So I invested in a program. It was like $250, 30 days to show you how to get your health coaching business as some kind of an accelerator. I'm an overachiever, so I finished it in 2 weeks. But something happened where I completely fell in love with the business side of it. I was like, I don't want a health coach anymore. I want to just help people start their businesses. Like, there's so many coaches out here who don't know how to start. And I can help anybody start a coaching business. If you sat beside me, I could tell you everything that you need to do. So I started my coaching business. I invested in a coach. We worked together for months. And then pretty soon I started to identify as the business coach who can help you start and scale your coaching business. So for the past, I don't know, six, seven years, I've been business coaching while working full-time, homeschooling. And I don't have a team to help me. I've just really simplified everything so that I can run it and be happy and make sure that my family is number one.
That's so good. It's so interesting. You know, God's timing is just not our timing. And I am kind of an all or nothing person. And that's not how God works either. Sometimes he's like, I want you to get started. And then we're just going to marinate with this for a while, you know, while I build up all of these other skills in you, or I create an environment that's better suited for you, you know, or whatever the case may be. So I love that you were so obedient that even years later, you know, you decided to circle back around to that. So one of the focal points that you seem to hone in on is helping introverts specifically scale a coaching business. So how did you kind of land on that being one of your, you know, your niche, your target audiences or your target things that you help people with?
Well, I didn't know what an introvert was. And when I was pregnant with my third, she's five now, I specifically remember sitting in front of my computer and reading an article about an introvert. And I must have Googled something like, why am I afraid to go out in public? Or who knows what I wrote. And I was like, there's an actual title for all of these things that are so me. This is me. This is me. That's how I feel. And then I thought, well, my whole life, I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought, because I don't want to, I'm not a social person, because I've never felt comfortable around my peers. I'd rather be around people like my grandparents and my parents. I've never wanted to be around my peers. So public school was so very fun. But I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't like everybody else. I wasn't shy. I just didn't have anything to say at the moment. So I got, you know, I found a report card. My mom had sent a box home with me, and it was like my second grade report card. And it was talking about how, you know, Lindsay could do a lot better in class if she would just speak up, if she would just talk. She seems very shy. And something about, like, all she does is read. Like, well, what's wrong with that? And so, you know, when you hear that stuff when you're little, it kind of just embeds in your brain that, you know, if you would talk more people would like you or more people would listen to you. So it was like, well, what's the point? You know, everyone identified me as quiet and shy. So starting a business online, for people who knew me growing up, they would think, what? She was afraid to talk in front of class. And it's so funny that we're talking about this, because on Sunday, we had a birthday party for my grandma and my aunt. And I was cleaning up in the kitchen, and my sixth grade teacher had walked up to the door, and she said, Madam President. And she's saying that because I accepted a position to be the president of Christian Mothers at our church. And I laughed and I walked over to her and I stuck out my hand because she's always been very special to me. And she's like, I remember in sixth grade when you came up to me and you said, I am not standing in front of class and reading. There's no way I will die and I will, or I'll pass out. I'm not doing it. And she said, if I have to get up and read in church, then you can get up in front of your class and read. And I was like, fine, but I could possibly die. I was so scared. And she said, who would have thought, right? And I said, yeah, I have no idea what changed. But when you sit down and think about it a little bit, and when I talk to introverts, I always say, number one, don't identify as an introvert. I think that's like a trendy thing. Don't identify it. You're just you. But the reason why people attach to the identification of anything is because then they kind of block their way to move forward and they sit with it. So I don't want you to do that. I really truly believe that introverts thrive with an online coaching business, because what does an introvert want? She wants to be at home. She wants to be in her comfort zone. The reason why I believe I'm so successful with my business is because I get to sit in my office and talk to people like you. I can create my office. I don't need to go anywhere to run my business. I've worked from home for almost 20 years for a corporation. If I had to go outside and work in the office, I remember those days, I would probably be a different person. I'd probably be stressed and I wouldn't be able to do what I want to do here. So take the things that you are identifying with and stop letting it create a roadblock in front of you and say, I'm going to use this to my advantage. There's nothing wrong with where I am. How can I make this work for me and show up in a way that works best for my personality and what makes me the most comfortable?
Yeah, I like that. I think that that's really good. So a couple of things that you said that I want to circle back to. For one thing, I just want to say readers are leaders. And I would much rather have a kid, as somebody who was a teacher for a lot of years, I'd much rather have a kid that reads all the time than a kid that talks all the time. Both are good. Both skills are good, but we need them reading and talking. And if I have to just pick one, I would pick reading. Honestly, because that's what gets your brain going, right? That's what makes you to where you can learn the other skills that you need. So there's that. That's a side. You know, one thing that I have had to do to kind of overcome, I think that one of the things that can play against an introvert is that because it is exhausting or can be tiring to interact with people, it has to be a little more intentional for me to set time to do it, right? I also was able to kind of build my business. Like, I had a membership for a while where I was showing up a couple times a month in my group, and it just was not, I was not looking forward to those times. It was not something that was lifting me up. So therefore I wasn't at my best, right? Guess what? It's my business. So I could say, you know what? We're going to switch this out and we're going to put this in. And I think that understanding how your brain works and why you feel a certain way and what lights you up and what kind of sucks the life out of you, like being able to recognize those things and not just looking at it as a good and bad, but just as like, hey, these things, I love to write. So writing really fires me up. Having to set time to meet with people every month does not. You know, not that I don't like talking to those people, I do, but I think that I agree with you that we can definitely use it as like a hindrance, but I do think it's good that you're talking about it so that women can say, okay, hold on, I don't feel good about this. Maybe what can I do instead? You know, what can I put in its place where I'm still showing up consistently, but not in a way that is draining me? Is that kind of the conversation?
Yeah. Well, you have to protect yourself. You know, I think there's a sweet spot that you can find. For example, you said, you know, the group calls were draining you. So sometimes, like for me, if I just went on a group call this afternoon, but I have a big bubble around me. I don't allow, like, let's say I run a program, it's a month program, and we're going to do a Q&A at the end or something. I have them submit their questions before we go on, and I don't do back and forth coaching on Zoom because, number one, that doesn't match the value of what they paid. Number two, it pulls a lot out of you. And I want that just to be for clients. So you can still show up in a way that you love. Like, I would go on Zoom and coach people all day long, but I don't want to have your questions in front of me and I will answer them there. So you kind of have to get a little creative. You don't have to hit the off switch, but you can make it your own.
I like the way you said that. You don't have to hit the off switch, but you can make it your own. And I'm sure that you see a lot of people, you come across a lot of people who have just completely pushed pause. Do you see this as being a cause of burnout, a common cause of burnout with women?
Yeah, because they're trying to show up like you or me or somebody else. And it's like, I always say, it's like you're putting on someone else's outfit and it feels so uncomfortable. You don't feel like yourself. I mean, it physically feels uncomfortable and you're not confident in who you are. If you could just be who you are and show up as that person. I mean, I'm not anything fancy. I'm just me. I'm in my sweatshirt and my leggings 100% of the time. If I'm not in my office, I'm in my kitchen baking, and that's just who I am. I'm not going to try to be somebody who has a laptop lifestyle living on the beach and, you know, has a team of 20. That's not me. It would feel weird for me to talk like that because I don't know how to speak that language. So if you're not being yourself online, no one can hear you. So you're not getting any interaction. And that doesn't feel good, right? Because you want people to communicate with you. You want to have that back and forth with people in a way of whether it's a like or a comment or whatever it is. When you don't get that as a human, that feels after a while like, what is the point of doing this? So they hit the off button and they leave, but they didn't really ask why they left, like really dig down. Why did you feel like you had to just shut off? Why did you feel like you had to go behind the scenes again? Where did you go and why? And not a lot of people want to go deep and think about why they did it or why they want to, but it all comes down to confidence and being just who you are.
So just to kind of bring some clarity here, how would you define, or what is the definition of an introvert? What is it and what isn't it?
I don't know the exact definition from the dictionary, but to me, so I can just describe who I am, I always think of the person who's the listener. Like, I will listen at the table to everybody. And they always say when the introvert speaks up, listen, because they've been thinking a long time about what they're going to say. And I take what I say seriously. I don't just vomit words out because I need the attention. I will listen and I will communicate whatever if I want to. I've always preferred to be in the back of the room. Even, you know, like at my grandma's birthday party, I'll just be in the kitchen doing what I need to do and I'll come out and socialize when I want to. And sometimes you're criticized for that. And introverts just aren't very social. You know, they're not the type to, you know, go around the room and say hi to everybody. They're very aware of what takes a lot of energy from them and they're mindful of it. Some of them are. I am. And they also like to just be in their comfort zone. They like to be at home. I mean, my best friend got me a coffee cup that said homebody. And I was like, well, that's very fitting. I just would rather be at home. So 2020 and all of those moments were such a breeze, right? and I think that it's not a social anxiety thing, but they just want to be where they feel valued, you know, and where they want to be a part of conversations that make them think. Small talk makes me very nervous. I want to talk about things that matter. And so I will put myself in places where I can be a part of those.
That's so funny. I literally had written down small talk. Like, I do not do small talk. And my husband does small talk. Oh, he just flitters around all, you know, and then he'll leave me in a conversation. And I'm like, that's not what we do. I like that. I like the way that you just describe that. I also liked that you said at the beginning of our conversation that you're not shy. I'm not shy. I can have a conversation with anybody, but it will it will leave me more tired than I was before the conversation, more than likely, which is not a bad thing, right? That's not a bad thing. It's just kind of the way that we're wired. I train teachers, I coach teachers. And so there are days that I will talk to 100 teachers for 6 hours a day, and I'll have to interact. I'll go sit in my car during lunch and not talk to anybody. And then I'll get in my car afterwards and I'll turn off the music. I just need to be quiet for about 20 minutes, not talk to anybody to, like, you know, regain my, let my brain start working again, kind of thing. So it's just a different reaction, I think, to interaction, but it's not a bad thing. I liked that you were talking positively about it. So what would you say, what are some of the superpowers that introverts have specifically when it comes to a business?
Specifically for online business, again, operating from your comfort zone. And it, to me, once I like really recognized how I like to do things, it started to feel really creative. I can make programs and products for coaches, and I can show up in this way. And it doesn't have to be the way that everyone else does. I can sell a workbook. I can record a class. I can record a class before I go down and do homeschool for the kids, and I can add it to my product suite. I don't have to be in front of everyone. Like, so many coaches ask me, like, well, I need to go on Facebook Live more. Why? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do literally anything. You can just find your sweet spot and then get creative with it and have fun with it and play with it a little bit. And once you do that, it's everyone can kind of detect that she did this out of the feeling of joy, right? Like, joy is the highest feeling we could have. So if I'm doing everything from the place of joy, not because I have to and I was forced to, people want to be a part of that. Like, you don't want to sit at a table full of people who are exhausted because they're doing everything against what their values are and the way they would want to do them. You wouldn't want to sit at that table. You want to sit at a table where someone inspires you and makes you feel good, and you can see the possibilities for your life. And that's important to me. So I make sure that everything that I do, I'm operating from a place of joy. If I see something in my planner that's I decided I needed to do yesterday and it doesn't feel good for me, I'm either going to cross it off or put it off to the next day. Like, I'm not going to force myself to do something that I don't feel connected to it. And you're the business owner, you're the boss. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, that's so good. So you've given so much value here in the short amount of time that we have been talking. But if you were to sum up, like, if you were to leave, you know, three tips for people who consider themselves introverts or maybe are struggling to show up authentically because they're trying to be like how the influencers are, you know, moving them to be, you know, this is the algorithm, this is your email list, this is how you should show up. Can you leave us with just a few tangible tips, or maybe even points of encouragement for those people who maybe are kind of feeling stuck because they feel like they can't show up in that way?
Well, you don't have to dance in front of a camera and do all these things that, you know, that person who has 35,000 followers does. You have to take small steps, though. I think confidence is huge. So if you're just throwing out quotes on your Instagram profile, no one's going to want to work with you because you're not showing them what the possibilities are for you. So think of what you can do for people and just draw it all out, like from the beginning to the end. What are all these things that you can do for people, and pull something from it and say, so for me, I could say, well, today I could talk about how to create more freedom in your coaching business. And I kind of did that today with my post, and I went deep into it. So you pick one, you focus on one topic, and your headline for that post is something that catches people's attention as they're scrolling through so very fast with their thumb, and they can kind of hear your voice through it, and they can feel connected to you because of the story that you told. I think we're missing a lot of storytelling in Instagram in particular. It's not about like lip syncing to things. Like, I'm not going to hire somebody because they're good at lip syncing a song that I can't stand anyway. So I want to connect with people on a deeper level. And so look at how you want to connect with people and take small steps. You don't have to go from, you know, your last post was in January 2021 and you're like, oh, I got to just be all in today. Just take small steps. That's the only way to get there. And the second thing that I would say is find somebody that you feel comfortable learning from. If you can find somebody that has similar values, I think that's really important because it's very dangerous in entrepreneurship. You can learn from people and you get into their programs and they're like, there's a lot of things in here that I don't believe in that are like, whoa, what's going on here? Find people that their values are front and center with what they do. You can find that through, you know, what they say, what they do, how they live their life, and then look at how they run their business. And if that's something that you would love to have, follow them and sit at their feet and learn from them and just, you know, have patience with it. Have patience.
Yeah. I'm going to add an amen, sister, to that, because it is so dangerous. And the loudest voices are not necessarily the voices, even if they have a million followers, even if they have $5 million. As faith-filled entrepreneurs, we've been called into a different place. And it doesn't mean that you can't have $5 million in a month. You absolutely can, but it's not going to be in the same way. And so we just have to be so careful that the values align to the people that we're following in that way. So I love that you said that. And then have patience. I love that too. I do think that sometimes people who have bigger personalities can move a little bit quicker because they are catchy, right? The people who are super, super funny on social media are the ones who quickly gather followers. It doesn't mean it's sustainable though. And it doesn't mean that they're necessarily giving value to recurring clients, right? We don't know what their business side is, but it can be easy to get kind of caught up in like, oh, that's not my personality, so I will never be successful in that way. We don't even know what their success looks like, right? So I think that these are invaluable. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about what you do, where our listeners can find you. I already mentioned your podcast, but remind us, tell us again, where can our listeners find you? How can they work with you?
All the things, right? So I show up on Instagram every single day. That's my favorite place. So it's just Lindsay_Maloney, really easy. And I have everything for coaches who are starting and scaling on my site. So I have a digital product suite that I'm always building out. And I have a $5 membership for coaches as well. And I drop in new classes every single month. So that's always growing. And if you want to work with me privately, I have 3 different options on my Work With Me page. And if you want to listen to me some more, you can go to my podcast, Book Your Dream Clients.
Excellent. And we will, of course, have all of those links in the show notes. Wherever we post this on social media. So, Lindsay, I have been taking notes every time I'm looking down. That's what I'm doing. I'm writing and taking notes. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom. I always appreciate having authentic conversations that are not just one size fits all. Here's 5 steps too. And it has to work for everybody because, you know, it is our business and we do get to run it in the way that works for us. That's part of the joy of being a business owner. And so I love that you're having those conversations and that you're talking about it. So thank you again for joining us today. I just want to thank you as the listener for downloading and sharing these episodes with your faith-filled friends. Please keep doing so. We are forever grateful. And we know that we need faith leading business more than ever right now. I want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner, you're in the planning phases of being a business owner, to follow us on Instagram at the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, to get business strategies, biblical truth for guidance and encouragement, and just to have a community that celebrates each other, networks with each other, and prays for each other. And always check out faithfilledentrepreneur.com. find all that is going on and to get additional resources to help you build your faith and